This is part B of the three most important days. Number three. Now let's come to Genesis 22. Let's pick it up here in verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham, and he said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. And he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love. Now we are going to see parallels concerning the Passover here, very clearly. Now, even though we have the days that are listed here, we can come up with 4 days, and maybe that's sufficient, but I've gone back and forth on this several times, just as I have on how old was Isaac at this point. We're going to see it doesn't tell us anything about his age here, but from the event we will be able to deduce what his actual age was, and then we will close the gap on the difference between the 400 and the 430 years. Now, verse 2. And he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell you. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. So this is one day he told him to do it. The next day then begins another 3-day count, which gives us a total of 4 days. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and he took 2 of his young men with him. Isn't that interesting? When Jesus was crucified, there were 2 also with him, one on one side, one on the other. But this is not exactly similar, but the numbers are interesting. So I don't have my cowbell with me today, so just figure I rang my cowbell, okay? And Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went to the place of which God told him. Then on the 3rd day, so we're dealing with 4 days here, however it falls, nevertheless, we still have a type of the Passover in this situation. So it would be more than likely, let's put it this way, that it did occur on what was the Passover day, as we see the events that took place. So let's look at it. Verse 5, And Abraham said to the young men, Stay here with the donkey, and I and the boy will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Now, as a boy, this means that he was less than 20 years old. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on upon his son Isaac, which is a type of Jesus carrying his own cross. And remember that Jesus was also the firstborn. And Jesus was the son of promise, as Isaac was the son of promise, as we covered in Galatians 4 the last time. And he took the fire pot in his hands and a knife, and they both went together. And Isaac spoke to his father and said, My father, and he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood. I can see that. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Now this shows the faith that Abraham developed and grew into from the time that God first called him out of Haran to come into the land of Canaan. And Abraham said, verse 8, My son, God will provide him a lamb for a burnt offering. And they both went on together. And they came to the place of which God had told Abraham. And he built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound his son Isaac, and laid him on the wood upon the altar. So however long this took place. Now we don't know the time of the day that all of these things took place. We would have to assume that on the 3rd day when he saw the place, it was quite a ways off, but it had to be sometime in the morning. They were able to get there sometime that day. Now we know, when did Jesus die? He died at the 9th hour, which is about 3 o'clock. Now, we can't read that directly into this part here, but it would follow along that it was very close to that time when you consider all the factors involved. Now, after he laid him on the altar, and I imagine Isaac had to have faith too, to let Abraham bind him. Now, I don't know how much he bound him. I don't know if he just bound his hands and feet, or if he wrapped rope around his whole body and laid him up there. We don't know. See? But he had to have faith to let his father do that and to place him on the altar with the wood and to know, hey, momentarily something's going to happen. Verse 10. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. So right to the last minute. Now, why did Abraham do this? Because we find in Hebrews the 11th chapter that it is said that Abraham was willing to do this because in a figure he received him from the dead. That is, from his dead body and the deadness of Sarah's womb. So if God could perform that miracle, if he did happen to offer him and cut his throat and he would bleed to death, God would bring him back to life because he's able to raise him from the dead. So that shows that Abraham, from Hebrews 11, had a pretty good understanding of God's plan, what he would do, and there would be a resurrection. And he also understood, because of Hebrews 11, about the city which was going to come from God. So God taught him about New Jerusalem, which was coming. So many of the things that we read here, we do not have all the information that God told Abraham, because all of this is condensed down in a summary fashion, and only the things that are necessary for us, God is given. So we can pick these up from the New Testament and understand these things. Now think about the poor Jews today who reject the New Testament, and when they read this without the knowledge of the New Testament, they are wondering, what on earth, why on earth would God do this? Now notice what happens. Sometimes God takes us right up to the point to see, do we really believe God, obey God, and are willing to do so under all circumstances, regardless of how dire they may look to us at any given time. Now this looked pretty dire, didn't it? Both to Abraham and to Isaac. And stop and think for a minute. I wonder how many times that Abraham and Sarah told Isaac how he was born and what God had promised him. Because Isaac, when he got to a certain age, could look around and see other children there that were being born in Abraham's entourage, because he had servants and they were born in his household and so forth. And he could see that all the mothers were young, but Sarah was old. And Abraham was old, so I imagine he rehearsed this to Isaac many times. Your mom was 90 when you were born. That's a miracle. And I was 100. So all of this in the backdrop here, you see. Now, we also have the type, Christ was the firstborn, Isaac was the firstborn, Abraham is a type of God the Father being very old. At this point, we will see. We will get the exact age here in just a minute. But we know he was over 100 plus the age of Isaac. Now let's pick it up here in verse 11. And the angel of the Lord called to him from the heavens and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And I imagine it was just about like that too. And he said, do not lay your hand upon the lad. So up here he's called a boy, verse 5. Down here he's called the lad. Nor do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God. Now I want you to keep that statement in mind, and we will calculate in just a little bit the complete number of years that it was until God said, now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And you can put in your margin there, John 3:16, that God gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him may not perish but may have everlasting life. So these are all of the elements that we have in this chapter, and these are important because it then establishes the covenant that God gave to Abraham that he could pass on to Isaac at this point. So this is very important, and since one was a covenantal sacrifice on the Passover day, this is a covenantal sacrifice, even though we may not be able to calculate or figure the exact day, it is undoubtedly at the Passover day that this occurred, because this is a covenantal sacrifice, as we will see here in just a little bit. Verse 13, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram was entangled in a thicket by its horns. And how did it get there? Did it just walk up there? Or did God create it? Because I'm sure as they were walking up to go to the place for the sacrifice, that they were looking around. I'm sure Isaac was looking around. Where's the lamb? I'm sure he had his eyeballs peeled everywhere looking for a lamb. So could it be that God just instantly created a ram, a special sacrifice for this special covenant sacrifice that we're looking here? And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." So that it is said unto this day, in the mount of the Lord it will be provided. So then, did Isaac remember where this place was all during his life? Yes. So this shows us that unto this day. Which day? Who wrote this? Is this Moses that wrote this unto this day? Yes. Did they know where the place was? Yes. Otherwise, they wouldn't say unto this day, it is called in the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. So you see, when we read through here, we miss a lot of things because we don't stop and think about it. And sometimes we read through and we wonder, well, what does this mean? And why is this here? Is this the same place where Jesus was crucified? Is this one of the mountains of Moriah that later became known as the Mount of Olives, because that's where Jesus was crucified? Could very well be. Was Christ the sacrifice provided for the sin of the whole world? Did not John the Baptist say, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world"? Yes. So look at the type that we have here. When the promises were given, that was a covenantal sacrifice on God's part, which happened on the 14th day of the first month. In this case, we have Abraham, who is a type of God the Father, Isaac, who is a type of Christ and was the firstborn of Sarah. Then we have, all of a sudden, God intervening to provide a substitute sacrifice in place of Isaac. And this is New Testament doctrine from this way. The death of Christ, who is the Lamb of God, is the substitute sacrifice for our sins, and the wages of our sins is death. Now, we'll get into this when we cover it next time concerning the covenant sacrifice. But let's understand, this is a covenant sacrifice, and let's see where it is. And this is a confirmation and a final establishment of the covenant that God promised Abraham, and now it comes to a point of being irrevocable, unreversible, because he said, "Now I know that you fear God." So let's read on here. Verse 15, and the angel of the Lord called to Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, "By myself have I sworn, says the Lord." Now, let's stop and think about this for a minute. Is God true? Yes. Is every word that he says always true? Yes. Does God then need to swear? No. But when he swears by himself, he is basing this covenant and these promises on his existence, meaning that they are going to be fulfilled because God exists and he has said he will do it. So this is very powerful when we go through it. By myself have I sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing, do our works and faith count? Yes. What does it say? We're going to be rewarded according to our works. Isn't that true? Yes. So see how much we have wrapped up here in this chapter. Because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, that in blessing I will bless you. Now it's irrevocable, unreversible. And in multiplying, I will multiply your seed like the stars of heaven. The spiritual promise of spiritual seed, but what must you have first before you have spiritual seed? You must first have physical seed. And that ties in with what Paul wrote. The spiritual was not first, but the physical. The first man, Adam, was of the earth, earthy. The second Adam was the Lord from heaven. Your seed like the stars of heaven, though at times it is applied to the children of Israel. But there's also the spiritual Israel of God that you have to remember, which is the church and those who will be in the first resurrection. And, see, stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And your seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your seed, Isaac and Christ, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Now then, let's answer the question, how old was Isaac when this took place? Well, if we have Abraham at 85 plus 15, we have 15 years added to the 400, and we know that it was exactly 430 years to the very same day, then Isaac had to be 15 years old when this took place. That is how we count for the 430 years. Before we go back to Genesis 15, let's add up some other numbers which are very interesting concerning all of these events that we have basically covered. We know that Abram was 75 years old when God called him. He was 85 when the covenant in Genesis 15 was made. He was 100 when Isaac was born. He was 115 when God asked him to offer Isaac as a burnt offering. Now, if we take all the years and add them together, that is 10 years, 15 years, and 15 years, we come up with a total of 40 years. And 40 is the number of trial and testing that we find in the Bible. For example, Moses was 40 years tending sheep before God called him to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. Jesus was tested 40 days and 40 nights by Satan the devil. And there are other examples of 40 years in different and varying ways, but 40 is significant because from the time that God called Abraham in Genesis 12 until the final confirmation of the covenant in Genesis 22 was 40 years. Now let's go back to Genesis 15. But this covenant sacrifice becomes the important thing. Now, from this time forward, let's come back to Genesis 15. From this time forward, there are 400 years left to the very same day. So we've got to have the Passover and unleavened bread involved in all three of these operations. Okay, let's come back here, verse 13, Genesis 15. And he said to Abram, "You must surely know that your seed shall be sojourners in a land that is not theirs." Skip the parenthetical statement. 400 years. That 400 years begins to be calculated 30 years after he made this statement. 15 years until the birth of Isaac, and 15 years until Isaac was offered as the sacrifice. Was Isaac then sojourning in the land of, as a stranger? Yes. And what happened to his son Jacob? Well, Jacob went off over to Syria. Is that a land that was not his? And he stayed there with Laban, ended up with two wives, one he bargained for and the other one he didn't. And how long did it take him to come back to the land of Canaan? When he came back to the land of Canaan, did he have possession of the land? No. And how long did they wander there in the promised land? And then you have the incident which then happened where then the brothers hated Joseph because of his dream and because of the tunic. Not a coat of many colors, a tunic. And a tunic is a sign of given by the father of the one who's going to be the leader and the inheritor. And remember that Joseph was only, when that started, only 17. And you know the great love that the brothers had for him. Of course, they hated him. They feigned his death. And, poor Isaac, poor old Jacob, rather. He was, all those years suffering because of the shenanigans and the carnality of the brothers. But it was all in God's plan. And so what happened then? Then, when the famine hit, the rest of the story there, they eventually came down into Egypt, and they eventually found out that the one who was second in charge of Egypt was none other than their younger brother Joseph. And what happened according to the dreams that Joseph told his brothers? He said, well, I was out there, and there was the sun and the moon, and I was there, and all of these sheaves of grain bowed down to worship me. And so what happened? What did they go to Egypt to receive? Grain. Where does that come from? Sheaves. Correct? And what was the whole episode over? Bags of grain, right? And when they came back the second time to get more grain, and after they had gone through all the shenanigans, they bowed down to worship him as Lord. So God makes everything happen and come out according to his time and his purpose. Now, we will spend the rest of the time answering some questions concerning Exodus 12 and 13 and Deuteronomy 16. It will be a little different than what I have written in the Passover book, which has been broken down in great detail. Now, let's come back to the chapter of the Passover in Exodus 12, so we can look at some of the instructions, and that will help prepare us for looking at the things in Deuteronomy 16. Because I want to read something, which I will refer to when we get to Deuteronomy 16. Verse 8, Exodus 12. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and they shall eat it with bitter herbs. You shall not eat of it raw. Now, this is the Passover lamb that they sacrificed. Nor boiled at all with water. I want to emphasize that very clearly and importantly, because this helps us understand the mistranslation that is in the King James Version of the Bible, which has led so many people astray. Nor boiled it at all with water, but roasted with fire, its head with its legs, with its inward parts, then which then has to do with the heart and the liver and the kidneys. Now, we already covered verse 41 and 42, the end of 430 years. It is a night, so they left when the sun was going down and going into the 15th day, just like we find the parallel in Genesis 15. Now, let's come to chapter 13, and let's see something concerning the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread begins with a night much to be observed. Now, the chapter break in the King James should actually be broken right here. Chapter 13, but I start out with verse 51 of chapter 12. And it came to pass the very same day when the Lord brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, sanctify all the firstborn to me, whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, of man and of beast, it is mine. Now notice verse 3, because this becomes important concerning the sacrifice for the firstborn. Verse 3, and Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you came out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for the Lord brought you out from this place with the strength of his hand. There shall be no leavened bread eaten. For in this day, 15th day, you are coming out in the month of Abib. Now to help get us clarified, put in your notes there, you can turn there if you want to, Mark 14. Mark 14 and verse 30. Because I want to read this. So when we talk about a day, it does not necessarily mean the day portion of the day. Mark 14 and verse 30. This is where Jesus told Peter. So we see how Jesus spoke of the day and the night when Jesus told Peter that he would betray him three times. Verse 30, Mark 14. And Jesus said to him, truly I say to you, today, in this very night. So when he uses the term today, it applied to that night. Before the cock crows twice, you shall deny me three times. So we have to understand that sometimes when God says today, it can also mean beginning with that very night. And that's what we are talking about here in verse 4 of Exodus 13. Let's go back to Exodus 13. On this day, which is what? The night to be much observed, because it says, and it came to pass at the end of it, let's just jump back over here to chapter 12 and verse 41, and it came to pass at the end of 430 years, it was even on the very same day and the same time of the day as Genesis 15, all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed to the Lord. So we have day, night, referring to the day beginning at night. So when he says over here, Exodus 13 and verse 3, remember this day, that does not mean it's in the day portion of the day, but right at the beginning of the night. Brought you up. Now, we won't cover the meaning there, but we will go on because want to cover something here concerning this day. Let's pick it up in verse 10. Exodus 13, verse 10, page 184. You shall therefore keep this law in its season from year to year. And it shall be, when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers, and shall give it to you, you shall set apart to the Lord all that opens the womb, every firstborn that comes of any animal which you have, the males shall be the Lord's. Someone's going to ask, well, what if it's a female? The female is still firstborn, correct? Then that was to be used for the offerings for the feasts. This becomes important when we come to Deuteronomy 16. As well as the substitutionary sacrifice for the male children and the male animals that they would bring. So you would have a combination of both, male and female. Male belonged to the Lord, so it was given wholly to the priest, and the priest would have it, they would own it, they and their families would eat it, and they would not eat of that sacrifice because that went to the Lord. The females they would take to the feast, and they would offer, and they would eat of it. The males shall be the Lord's. And every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. So you had that sacrifice yet too, didn't you? And if you will not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. Well, do you want the donkey or not? Yes. And all the firstborn of man among your sons shall you redeem. And it shall be when your son asks you in the time to come, saying, what does this mean? You shall say to him, the Lord brought us out of the land, out of Egypt by the strength of his hand from the house of bondage. And it came to pass when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of animals. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that opens the womb that are males, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem. Now this was to be specially commemorated on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And what begins the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread? The night to be much observed. All right. Now let's come to Deuteronomy 16. Now that's why it's important that you read it in the Passover book, because we have all of the parallel chapters put there that you can read together so you can understand it. Deuteronomy 16 and verse 1, page 309. Verse 1, Deuteronomy 16. Observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover to the Lord your God, period. Passover is one thing. Now let me, we'll clarify something else here as we go along. For in the month of Abib, the Lord your God brought you forth out of Egypt by night. What night was that? The night after the Passover. See, the Passover, as we already covered, pictured what? The passing over. The night to be much observed, beginning the Feast of Unleavened Bread, is the night that they left Egypt. Two different events. One on one night, one on the other night. Now notice verse 2. And you shall therefore sacrifice the Passover offering. Now this is where the confusion comes. And there is a difference in the Hebrew. The Passover sacrifice was the lamb or the kid goat. In the Hebrew, the Passover sacrifice was the lamb to be eaten with the Passover meal. The Passover offering that we are going to come to here are those offerings that were prepared and offered late on the Passover day to begin observing the night to be much observed. And you need to read in the Passover book where it was later, where the whole Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread was called Passover. But let's read it carefully here now. Verse 2. And you shall therefore sacrifice the Passover offering to the Lord your God of the flock and the herd. Now the Passover sacrifice was only to be taken from the flock, not from the herd. Jesus was not called by the apostle, not apostle, but John the Baptist. Behold, the Passover calf of God. Lamb. Whoa! Flock and the herd. Now, when I was really studying this through and coming to understand this the first time, I was reading late at night in bed, and I read that, and because I was going over and over and over and over this, because the church was beginning to accept the Jewish tradition that the Passover and first day of unleavened bread were the same. And he said, here it is. Here's the temple sacrifice. They offer it at the temple, now no longer at home. And I thought, how could that be? And when I read this of the flock and of the herd, I jumped out of bed and I said, that's it. Because it specifically says in Exodus 12, you're to take it from the flock. What do you mean the herd? So this is not the Passover sacrifice. This is the Passover offering that was offered late on the Passover day at the temple in preparation for the night to be much observed. Now let's see how that fits. And let's also see something else that distinguishes this. Of the flock and the herd in the place which the Lord shall choose to place his name there. That's at the tabernacle or the temple. The Passover sacrifice was a domestic home sacrifice. Now we'll get in that next time about the Passover in the New Testament. Now notice, verse 3. You shall eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread with it. Unleavened bread was to be only eaten one day on the Passover day, right? That's an unleavened bread day. Now here's 7 days you are to eat it with it. That is these sacrifices which began on the day portion of the Passover. But what were these sacrifices for? The firstborn, male, female, redemption of unclean animal, redemption of your own male sons. So they had many sacrifices. This was a tremendous thing that they were doing, see. She'll eat unleavened bread with it 7 days. The bread of affliction, for you came forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, so that you may remember the day you came forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of your life. That tells us this is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The night to be much observed begins it, and it is not the Passover night, because the Passover night, the ceremony was that this is done because of the Lord passing over our houses. Verse 4, and there shall no leaven be seen with you in all your borders for 7 days, neither shall the flesh which you sacrifice on the first day at sunset. See, those special sacrifices for the night to be much observed remain all night until morning, because all of those sacrifices were what? Peace offerings, and all peace offerings, you were not to leave anything left over until morning. That's the same thing that applies to the Passover sacrifice. So this looks very similar then, doesn't it? But that's the difference and the distinction between it. Now notice, you may not sacrifice the Passover offering, which we can put in there, for the redemption of the firstborn within any of your gates which the Lord your God gives you, whereas the 14th Passover was to be kept in your home. Now we'll see something else a little later concerning that. But we'll cover that a little bit later. Verse 6, but at the place which the Lord your God shall choose to place his name in, there you shall sacrifice the offering, the Passover offering at sunset, at the going down of the sun at the time that you came out of Egypt. Now notice verse 7, another key verse which shows this could not be the Passover sacrifice, as instructed in Exodus 12. And you shall boil and eat it in the place which the Lord your God shall choose. What was said of the Passover sacrifice? You are not to boil it at all with water. It's to be of the flock, a kid of the goats or the lambs, and we have here the herd, and boiling. These are the redemption sacrifices for the firstborn to begin, the night to be much observed. You shall boil and eat it in the place which the Lord your God shall choose, and in the morning you shall turn and go to your tents. 6 days shall you eat unleavened bread, right there. That defines that in the morning, see, they stayed up all night. Can you imagine what kind of feast they had all night? All that flesh, all that bread, everybody there, all the wine. They were eating, they were drinking, they were rejoicing because they had been brought out of the land of Egypt. And when morning came, they were to go to their tents and sleep for a good portion of the day. I don't know how many had hangovers, depending on how much they drank. But you see, then it says suddenly 6 days. It's the only place in the whole Bible where it says 6 days. Well, when you have 1 day of 7 days of unleavened bread already used up, how many do you have left? Six. There you go. And on the seventh shall be a solemn assembly to the Lord your God. You shall do no work. So when you understand this properly, this solves the problem of the difficulties between the 14 and 15 Passover. So we'll have to end it here. But we have solved the problem. Where did the 30 years come from? 15 years between the promises given and the birth of Isaac, and 15 years from the birth of Isaac to the sacrifice of Isaac. That's the 30 years. Then we have here Deuteronomy 16, the Passover offerings of the flock and herd have to do with the redemption of the firstborn, and the Passover sacrifice of the lamb has to do with the 14th Passover. And all the years of confusion back and forth and arguing because of poor translation and wrong understanding. We'll continue next time. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.